Without any means of flight, he plummeted toward the forest below, and a large thud echoed out across the desolate mountain as he slammed into the ground. The wounds of the warrior had worsened, but he was at least alive. The false memories were gone, and his pursuers were half a world away. A sense of freedom once again filled his soul, and it allowed him to rally the energy to keep going. Dreams of his boundless future started to form as he walked across the unknown forest, but he suddenly felt the creeping unease return. He started running to escape the mounting dread, but it only worsened as time passed. What was happening to him? Who was messing with his mind, his perception of reality? And what else about him was false? Something was no doubt the origin of the undeniable unease. He looked down at his hands and froze in place. Were these hands really his? Or were they figments of his imagination, just like his wings? The answer soon presented itself as the hands fractured and turned into crystal shards that started drifting toward the sky. But as more and more of his body fragmented and split off from his body, the heavier his apprehension became. These memories that were left in his mind, were they real or more figments of his imagination? They turned more and more disjointed, and soon enough they were filled with nothing but short bursts of faces and places that he couldn't name or place. Am I even real? A swirl of crystalline fragments floated into the sky, and a ripple spread out as they breached the surface. The small crystals kept falling until they fell onto the bed of the tranquil pond, joining the millions of other ones just like them. Agras found himself standing on top of the teleportation array, and he took a deep breath beneath the mask before he sat down and went over his final gain of the Tower of Eternity. "Reality is perception," Agras muttered with a frown. A surge of energy inundated his body as his understanding coalesced, and he felt a new path opening up before him. He had gained the seed of mirage from the inheritance trial, and he had quickly incorporated it into his fighting techniques as a means of distraction. But was the way he looked at the concept too shallow? What if false could be true, and true be false? How could someone defend against something that was neither real nor fake, while simultaneously being both? His eyes stayed closed for another 5 minutes, until Agras finally took another deep breath and opened his Dao screen. Seed of Mirage, high. Dexterity, +15. Intelligence, +35. Wisdom, +10. It looked like he had gained 5 dexterity and wisdom, along with 20 points into intelligence. It wasn't a huge amount, but it did push his somewhat lacking intelligence a bit further. He had never planned on focusing on the attribute, even though it was beneficial to some of his skills, but he would gladly take it when it came for free. Only after having secured his gains did he bother to check on his surroundings, and his expression immediately soured when he saw what was going on. "Shit," Agras muttered as his eyes met the hundreds of glares from the mob waiting outside the protective shielding. Had something happened to Zack's climb that emboldened these fools? Or did they have a false sense of security by their numbers? They would find that numbers were meaningless in a battle of elites, and if they got swept up by the chaos, it was their problem. At least they couldn't target him until he stepped off the platform. But he knew that was only a temporary protection. The human cockroach would have to find a more permanent solution for their trio. The array suddenly shuddered, and a pale Galao appeared the next moment. No apparition appeared upon his exit, but he still sat down with closed eyes as he took out a pill from his cosmos sack. "You're late," Agras grinned beneath the mask, quickly pulling himself together. "Just missed my apparition, and it was a pretty good one. By the way, do you have a tool to check what level that guy has reached?" "Hello?" "Ah," Galao suddenly said. "Mr. Arjrodam, it has been a while. "I am glad you are fine. What did you say just now? You want to see the tower ladder?" "What happened to you?" Agras asked with a raised brow. "Trouble at the desert town?" "Ah, well," Gelau said with a weak smile as his hand reached for his spatial pouch again. "Negotiations fell through at the last moment. I got a bit greedy, I am afraid, wanting to make a big transaction right before I left." His face turned even whiter the next moment, and he looked ready to puke. Agras looked on with incomprehension before his eyes widened in understanding. He quickly reached for his own cosmos sack, and a second later his expression was an exact copy of the merchant's. So many barrels of fine liquor gone. "It's that bad?" Agras asked, trying to find some solace in the sorrows of others. Almost a third of his barrels remained, though, and most importantly, he still had the treasure he got for defeating the fifth floor. That thing alone was worth more than everything he had stashed away combined. Together with what that asshole had provided in the inheritance, he stood a chance to open up two of his hidden nodes in one go, provided that he survived, of course. "It's worse than I expected," Gelau confessed with an almost crying expression, but he still took out an opaque crystal. "At least I could keep some of 'em." "What in the heavens?" "What?" Agras asked with a frown. "He's reached the 71st level," Gelau sputtered, incredulity evident on his face. "Almost at the gates to the 9th floor." "Monster," Agras snorted with a shake of his head, even though he wasn't as calm as he let on. "We'll see if it's enough to deter the group of starving Gwilgi waiting outside the gates." Chapter 44. Indigestion. Zack took a deep breath as he found himself back in his body, and he was almost surprised to see that he was still in one piece after the four-eyed cultivator had refused to provide him with a cage for the shard. He did sense a new power coursing through his body, but it didn't feel too bad. His whole body was pins and needles, but there was nothing like the all-consuming rage and insanity that the splinter sometimes brought forth. Even the splinter seemed to have been subdued by the alien presence in Zack's body, and the railing against the miasmic cage had completely stopped. This alone made Zack pretty hopeful for the future, as this was exactly the sort of effect he had hoped to gain by taking this huge risk. Satisfied that he wouldn't up and explode the next minute, he quickly took in his surroundings. The radiant lights that had previously lit up the core chamber were gone, and he found himself sitting on the metallic floor. He reached for the token fastened to his belt, but he stopped himself when he realized that there was no threat. The initial plan was to snatch the token and escape if he encountered the captain, but he realized that might not be needed now, since the core containment shield had been erected again with him inside it. Three massive machines that had appeared while he took his spiritual journey powered the sphere from the outside, each of them shuddering with power. Just outside the energy cage, the metallic transhuman stood guard, staring at Zack like a praying mantis. Beside him were a few technocrat scientists who were busying themselves with dozens of panels in front of them. It had been impossible to make out the orders the captain shouted earlier, but Zack quickly put two and two together as he looked at what was going on. Jowl had mentioned a drastic increase of issues on the ship, and Dr. Fried believed that the anomalies appeared because the shard wanted a host. Perhaps the technocrats hoped that him absorbing the shard would result in fewer problems, which was something they desperately needed until they were out of harm's way.
"I don't know what your plan was, but I'll be keeping an eye on you until we return to our domain. Deramex Dynamics will no doubt pay even more for the shard being delivered in a compatible host," the silver transhuman said, confirming Zack's guess. Zack ignored the man as he touched the shield,
only to feel a painful zap that traveled along his arm. He wasn't worried in the slightest about being imprisoned. It was actually the opposite. This was the perfect outcome for him, since they couldn't possibly know he would disappear the moment he cracked his token. Since his safety was guaranteed for now, he wasn't too anxious to return, and he would rather wait things out for a few days to see whether any unanticipated changes arose within his body. He also didn't want to exit too early, as he had made an agreement with Agras and Galau. Perhaps he would even be able to figure out a way to complete the mission on this level, and then test his mettle against the Floor Guardian. However, his eyes widened in shock when he looked down at the token. It showed less than 2 days remained in his climb. How was that possible? He had had over a week remaining when he arrived on the ship, allowing him to allocate over 3 days to finish this level before moving on to the Floor Guardian. There was even the chance of fighting for a treasure if one appeared on the 73rd level, in case he defeated the 8th Floor Guardian quickly. He had pushed himself to the limit over the past weeks, but the system had somehow invalidated his efforts and stolen time from his climb. But a sudden realization made him want to curse out loud. He wasn't inside the tower any longer. He hadn't even considered it until now, but it appeared as though he had been forced to complete this level under normal temporal conditions. He had spent an hour and a half on this level, which pretty much was the equivalent of 6 days of climbing time. It also meant that his climb would end in less than 30 minutes unless he managed to get to the next level. Even worse, were there perhaps other changes to the rules he had taken for granted? Would he even get sent out if he crushed his token at this point? Panic started to build in his body, and he was no longer as calm and collected as before. He desperately started to look around for an opportunity to escape, wishing for some solution to present itself. A deep thud made his whole body shudder for an instant before a shockwave of creation spread out, causing the environment to turn into a chaotic mess of random shapes and colors. The shockwave was contained within the shield, though, and it seemed as though the power was slowly drained by the 3 large machines.
"It's pointless," the captain's voice could be heard from outside, but Zack couldn't bother with it, as he had more pressing issues to deal with. The shard had awakened. A shudder traveled across Zack's whole body as it felt like he was being ripped apart, and the next moment hundreds of bleeding cracks appeared across his body before quickly closing again. What had changed? The thing had been quietly moving about his body like a curious animal, but suddenly it was frenetically releasing power to the point that Zack had trouble withstanding it. Desire. Was this what the cultivator in the vision had warned him about? Zack had suddenly wished for a way to return to the tower, and the shard of creation started rampaging a moment later. Worse yet, the splinter had woken up from the massive fluctuations in his body, and Zack felt his mind tremble as it pitted itself against one of the miasmic fractals. It almost seemed as though the two remnants were creating some sort of loop where they kept agitating each other further and further. The visions he saw were pretty grim, but it was nothing like this. The shard was going haywire in his body, pouring out an ever-increasing amount of unfamiliar energies. It was just like when he was drowning inside the pond of cosmic water, except that this time the energies came from one of the highest Taos in existence. There was no telling what would happen next, and he briefly considered whether he should crush his token in hopes that he would get sent out after all. However, Zack eventually decided against it. His situation wouldn't be any better in the base town than here, and there was a complicated situation waiting outside. He would need his mental faculties to deal with whatever the forces in the base town had planned, and he would rather try to deal with this mess on board a technocrat vessel than among the elites of his sector. If he left the Tower of Eternity like this, there was a decent chance that the tragedy of the Zathia Pill House would repeat itself, this time perhaps causing trouble of irrevocable levels. Zack knew he needed to get rid of this excess energy before he exploded,
and he desperately tried to force the energy out into his arm, just like when he'd experimented with the bronze flashes. If something was going to explode, it was better if it was an appendage. Agras had lost an arm, but it hadn't really slowed the demon down at all. However, the energies from the Shard of Creation weren't that easy to manipulate. Besides, his whole body, including his arms, was already crammed full of power. Zack briefly lamented that he couldn't expand his arm to contain the energies, like with Unholy Strike, and his eyes widened in horror the next moment as his arm turned into a macabre slab of sinew and muscle that kept growing until it slammed into the entrapment a few meters away. The shield wobbled for a bit, but it didn't break. But Zack didn't care about that, as he frenziedly wished for his arm to get back to normal over and over in his mind, in hopes that the shard would comply. And Zack was almost ready to cry when he saw his arm twist and turn until it returned back to normal. In fact, it was actually better than normal. There had been a few wounds and a crack in one of his bones earlier from launching the third swing of deforestation, but the arm was completely unblemished now, even missing a few recent scars that had yet to fade away. It was both a relief and cause for worry, as he wasn't sure whether this was really his old arm, or rather something that the Shard of Creation had reforged from nothing. Worse yet, he felt that while the rapid transformations had expended some of the energies of creation building up inside him, it had also expended something from him. He wasn't sure what, but it was something other than cosmic energy or mental energy. However, Zack barely had time to feel a sense of relief before all hell broke loose. He sensed another buildup of energies in his chest, but it refused to budge in the slightest this time. Instead, it shot toward the miasmic cage with furious momentum. The splinter wasn't about to be outdone, and the whole cage shuddered as it started to release unprecedented levels of power. Zack desperately tried everything he could think of to stop the inevitable, but the two forces crashed into one of the seven remaining fractals at the same time. The pain in his mind threatened to turn him insane, but his mind felt like a small ship lost on a raging ocean. The miasmic cage barely held, but Zack sensed that the fractal had started leaking from the crash. The two remnants had failed in destroying each other, but their war was turning Zack's body into a ravaged battlefield as even higher amounts of energies rampaged around, and he was barely cognizant of the fact that he was on the ground screaming his lungs out as the air around him crackled before it broke apart.
"What is he doing?"
the captain screamed from outside, but Zack barely heard it over the roar of the powers clashing in his body. The whole core containment was already painted red as his body kept crumbling before being forcibly restored by the shard. The pain was excruciating, but that was only a minor inconvenience compared to the cost. Zack had finally recognized the pain deep in his soul that came each time he expended the shard's powers. It was feeding on his life force. His mind was a hazy mess, but he still understood that he needed to expel the excess energies even if it came at a cost of his longevity. He arduously got back on his knees and started punching the ground, each punch containing enough strength to cause the whole room to shake. The alloy was made to withstand terrifying power, but each punch expelled some of both the two peak Taos of creation and oblivion. Oblivion turned metal to nothingness as creation turned his hand into massive sledgehammers. The entrapment had only been meant to keep the waves of creation inside, but that was only half the force inside Zack at the moment. It just took a few seconds of rabid punching for a deep hope to form, and he suddenly found himself falling face first over 20 meters onto a subfloor that seemed to be some sort of service level. The pain startled his muddled head awake for a second, and he quickly stopped swinging to instead look around. All kinds of pipes ran along the walls and into the floor and ceiling above, and there were no signs of any technocrats anywhere.
"Lower the shield!"
a voice roared from above, and Zack desperately looked around for an escape route. He started running toward what he believed was the rear end of the ship, and the aura around him kept increasing as creation and oblivion started to seep out of his body. Wherever he passed, destruction followed, either in the form of utter annihilation or rampant mutation. The waves that radiated from him had been contained while he still was within the shield, but now he was like a walking radiation sphere that ruined everything around him, no matter if he wanted to or not. But that was fine with Zack, as it both lessened the stress inside his body while it worked toward completing the mission. Hopefully he'd break enough to make a teleportation array appear, which would send him back to the tower and its elongated spacetime. As long as he left soon, he would still have a day left to deal with this mess. A sense of danger suddenly cut through the pain and confusion, but he felt himself getting punched before he had a chance to even erect any defenses. A biting cold spread through his body as a massive hole was blasted open in his chest, the force throwing him through multiple walls. It was the captain who had caught up, and it looked like he was no longer interested in keeping him alive. Half Zack's torso was gone, and it was barely held together by a few thin strings of flesh. Zack felt death creeping forth, and not like when he changed his race to Draugr. This was a true death. He was full of reluctance, as there were too many people counting on him back home, and the vibrant energies surged in his body, and Zack was startled awake by excruciating pain as his torso grew back in an instant. Cold sweat ran down Zack's forehead as he shakily got up on his feet and glanced down at his perfectly intact chest. Was this why the technocrats had launched an orbital strike on the previous host? He briefly wondered what Agras would say after seeing such a disgusting regeneration speed, but he knew it came at a cost. He had lost even more of his longevity, and it was not a small amount, as far as Zack could tell. Worse yet, the captain was already charging up another strike. Chapter 45. Pink. Zack barely had time to release another set of leaves and activate a defensive charge of his robes before the captain was once again in front of him, his fist crackling with power. However, just as the captain appeared in front of Zack, the two slivers decided to once again try to destroy the miasmic cage, and a massive wave of wild energies blasted out from Zack's body. Everything within 50 meters was destroyed in an instant. Some parts had been annihilated, or at least destroyed with complete prejudice, whereas some of the surroundings had been twisted and transformed beyond recognition. A dozen large crystals had also appeared out of nowhere, making the area look like a quartz mine. The captain wasn't unscathed either, and his chest lit up as a wave of dozens of shields spread out around him. However, these shields obviously hadn't been augmented by Dr. Fried, as they proved utterly incapable of hindering the aura of creation and oblivion that radiated out from Zack. The shields cracked like brittle glass, and the captain was suddenly inundated in the energies of the two remnants. His body twisted and mutated as other parts just withered away, but he shot back with enough speed to break the sound barrier. The wave subsided, and Zack once again found himself in control of his body, and he looked up with bleary eyes only to see the captain's body quickly reforming itself to peak condition. It looked like killing a D-grade warrior wouldn't be so easy. The captain had learned his lesson, though, and he no longer seemed interested in getting up close to Zack. Perhaps he had wanted to minimize the damage to his ship that way, but the detonation seemed to have been too dangerous for comfort. Instead, he raised his arm toward Zack, and a dozen miniature drones were released from his arm and created a circle in the air. Streams of power emerged from his arm and connected with the drones, and a simile of an array was formed. A ball that seemed to be a mix of electricity and plasma was quickly formed within the circle, and Zack's danger sense once again startled him awake from his muddled state. Zack was still dealing with the aftermath of the shockwave himself, and fleeing from the captain was out of the question. He just hesitated for a fraction of a second before he sent the command to his specialty corps, and he almost fell over again as a surge of miasma joined the chaos within his body. But the transformation finished in time, allowing Zack to barely erect immutable bulwark before a terrifying beam of energy slammed into him. The captain was going all out to take him down, and his latest attack was causing even more damage to the ship than Zack's own efforts. Everything around him melted as he was pushed back over 100 meters, but his defensive skill had protected him from getting incinerated at least. However, Zack saw that the shield was about to break after just a second of defending, and he scrambled out of the way at the last moment. He had hoped that the beam would shoot past him and blast a hole in the hull, but it winked out the moment Zack dodged it. His danger sense screamed again, and he resummoned the large fractal bulwark to block his upper body as the captain, or rather his detached arm, appeared in front of him. Immutable bulwark cracked in an instant under the pressure of the D-grade warrior's punch, and Zack was thrown through 2 walls before he slammed into what could either be a massive pipe or some sort of tunnel. Scorching pain suddenly radiated from his leg, and Zack miserably got out of the indent that he had caused. An almost blinding light drowned the area the next moment as the dented metal was incinerated from the contents within. A beautiful yet terrifying stream of light coursed through the conduit, and Zack's eyes widened at the display. The light didn't give off any heat or aura of power like cosmic energy, but it still almost amputated his leg by just grazing it. His usually impervious body had proved wholly incapable of stopping it, and the pain was excruciating. The good news was that the captain had stopped over 100 meters away, and he didn't seem to be readying himself to activate another beam. Was it just fear of another shockwave, or was it fear of damaging the power conduit behind him? It was probably one of the main lines of power that ran this whole ship, as far as Zack could guess. What else would require this much power in a reclaimed old freight vessel? His first instinct was to blow up the pipeline, but the problem was that he had sort of already done that by slamming into it like an infuriated bar guest. The thick metal tubing was dented and twisted, but the stream of light seemed wholly undeterred. The parts of metal that blocked its original path had simply been incinerated, allowing the energy river to continue on its intended trajectory. It made him believe that the piping itself might actually be there to protect others from getting themselves killed, or prevent things from getting into the energy feed. The stream itself was controlled through some other means, which made it much harder to blow up. He had a sudden bout of inspiration as he quickly stabbed his shoulders with 2 knives as he stared into the eyes of the technocrat. The fragments of the Bodhi and the axe poured into the 2 fractals on his shoulders, and his whole body felt some reprieve as a lot of the backup energies inside his body poured into the fractals as well. An extremely large blob had formed in his chest in an instant, and it started expanding at a shocking pace. Zack frantically pushed it out of his chest and into his arm as usual, but the ball of creation was as large as a beach ball by the time it reached his elbow. Zack gritted his teeth and pushed half of his left arm straight into the stream of energy with 1 instant motion. The pain of getting his arm singed off up to the elbow was almost enough to make him black out, but a spastic mess of flesh grew out and replaced the lost forearm in an instant, as Zack repeatedly wished for a hand just like before when his arm was destroyed.
"What have you done?"
the captain screamed with fury before he launched toward Zack with murder in his eyes. A billowing wave of killing intent caused his whole body to shudder, and he urgently reached for the token again. However, his eyes widened when he realized that this newly created hand was completely without strength and coordination. It flopped around like a wet noodle, and he couldn't even grip properly. However, the whole thing became moot before the captain had a chance to arrive. A scorching pain enveloped him as a huge explosion of pink and blue flung straight through a meter-thick wall. Multiple bones creaked in pain, but he had thankfully been able to infuse his body with the fragment of the coffin, along with expending a defensive talisman. One explosion after another rocked the whole vessel, but he unsteadily got back to his feet in case the captain showed up again. But the only thing he saw was blue and pink flames spreading in every direction, and immense structural damage. Zack's eyes lit up at the scene, and he quickly looked around for a teleportation array. Fleeing from the captain had already caused an excessive amount of damage to the ship, and he refused to believe that the chain of explosions that he could feel in his bones wasn't enough to get the job done. Just as expected, just 20 meters away, a teleportation array had appeared, and Zack lunged at it as he knew he was running out of time. However, just as he was about to step onto the platform, the whole ship heaved as a massive crack opened up beneath his feet. Zack desperately tried to reach the array, but his surroundings turned to a blur as he was flung away from the spaceship, decompressing. A distance of hundreds of meters was opened up between Zack and the technocrat ship in an instant, and the momentum kept pushing him further and further away. He panicked for a second, but he soon enough realized that the miasma in his body was keeping him safe, though the expenditure was pretty taxing. Another shockwave from the distance caused Zack to spin out of control as he was pushed even further, and he started to flail his arm to regain control. And surprisingly enough, it worked. He realized he could actually shoot out a burst of miasma to somewhat mimic the effect of a propulsion engine. It allowed him to right himself soon enough, and he finally got a good look at the surroundings. Pieces of metal were spinning about all around him, and in the distance, a series of explosions harried the gargantuan vessel he had just fallen out of. The dome of the beam in the middle of the ship had completely buckled, and the shockwave he had just felt was no doubt one of the enormous thrusters in the rear exploding. A beautiful wave of the radiant destruction was currently spreading outward like a supernova explosion, but he seemed to be far from the blast zone. Guilt, rather than happiness, filled Zack's mind as he witnessed the scene. He hadn't really considered the implications of his actions when he'd infused the unknown pink spark into the river of energy. He had subconsciously compared it to pouring sugar in a car tank to stall the engine. But this was much worse. Tens of thousands of people lived and worked on that ship, and he had turned it into scrap metal. Thankfully, the vessel had some fail-safes installed, as blue shields spread across the breaches that leaked atmosphere, meaning that most of the technocrats were probably safe. Zack breathed in relief as he thought of his next move. Usually, the teleportation array followed you if you kept moving, pretty much urging you to move on to the next level. Would it be the same in outer space? There was nothing to lose from trying, and he quickly looked for any clues. Thankfully, the familiar array was just a few dozen meters away from him, attached to a piece of wreckage from the little bean. A sudden collision inside his body forced him to puke a mouthful of blood that instantly turned into an ice sculpture, which rudely informed him that the two slivers in his body wouldn't even take a break after being thrown into space. He ignored the pain as he propelled himself toward the array with the help of a burst of miasma expelled from his hands. The array lit up the moment he floated into it, and a brief bout of darkness provided some reprieve to the chaotic war that had resumed in his body. But the struggle for supremacy between the two artifacts immediately started up again the moment he appeared in the next world. Zack tried to get a grasp on the situation at the 72nd level, but another clash made him double over and puke another stream of blood that this time turned into sanguine butterflies. The little bugs flitted about for a couple of seconds before they exploded, causing widespread destruction to the area around him. He tried to rouse a response to the reignited war, but he knew he was in pretty bad shape. He had plenty of miasma and ichor to spare, but his constitution and soul were drained after being inundated in creation over and over again. The adrenaline coursing through his body during the escape had kept him going, but the brief sojourn into outer space had cooled him down. A quest prompt appeared in front of Zack's eyes, but his fuzzy mind couldn't make out what the screen said, as his body suddenly expanded 10 meters before shrinking back again, the agony enough to make Zack scream out loud. Another burst of energies threatened to burn his pathways clear, and he desperately pounded down on the ground with enough force to cause a massive explosion that caused gravel and dirt to fly in all directions. Zack zealously clung on to the parting words of the cultivator in the vision, using it as a foundation to steer back on course. The cultivator had told him to restrain himself and not wish for anything, and by now he understood all too well what he meant by restraining desires. The moment he had an errant thought, it was immediately fulfilled, but the results were seldom what he hoped for. It was like the shard of creation was an evil genie that sort of fulfilled his wishes, but in a way that seemed to backfire while also draining him of longevity. Should he try releasing a couple of flashes to tire out the shard? The splinter was also causing trouble, but it was still contained in its cage, even if the fractal was leaking pretty badly by this point. But releasing flashes was like putting band-aids on a sinking ship, and he needed a permanent solution. Should he try to expedite their attempts at breaking open the cage? It would happen sooner or later anyway, as they kept slamming into the miasmic fractal, and perhaps it would allow him to trap both remnants inside. But something suddenly cut through both the pain and confusion, as Zack's danger sense suddenly screamed that his life was in danger. It was not from something within, but rather from someone or something attacking him again. The splinter brought forth an all-consuming fury that threatened to burn Zack alive as hundreds of eyes spontaneously grew on his body to see what had accosted him. But the vision scared Zack straight, and the eyes shrank back into his body. It was an actual dragon from mythology, a primordial beast over 100 meters long. Chapter 46. Dragon. Had dragons actually existed on Earth once upon a time? That was the only way Zack could explain it, going by how stunningly similar it was to the depictions he had seen since he was a child. It looked like a traditional black dragon, though its scales were tinted slightly red at the edges. 2 great horns adorned its head, and sharp spikes ran along its spine down to the edge of the 30-meter-long tail. Only then did Zack realize that he had been dropped off right in front of an enormous cave mouth, which probably led into the dragon's den. What caused the surge of danger was a blade of power that was rushing toward him, seemingly caused by a swipe of the dragon's claws. Had he awakened the dragon and pissed it off by causing a ruckus at its doorstep? Zack had to push down a primordial fear as he prepared himself for battle. There was no way that this big thing wasn't the Floor Guardian. One good thing about the situation was that the dragon emitted an immense pressure that seemed to have subdued the remnants to some degree. The swipe slammed into the bulwark the next moment, and Zack nodded in relief when he felt that the attack's power was immense, but a lot more manageable than the technocrat captain's. He completed the transformation of Vanguard of Undeath before he stomped down on the ground as he activated all his passive skills. An explosion of miasma erupted as Zack appeared right beneath the dragon's chest, and the cage of profane seal rose from the ground the next instant. Even the 100 skeletons of Undying Legion appeared and surrounded the enormous beast, and they staidly moved toward it without any fear of death. It was a pretty huge miasma expenditure, but Zack figured that he would throw everything in his repertoire at the big bastard before swapping back to his human form, as he still had one change remaining. But Zack still felt a bit stumped as he looked up at the beast. How the hell would he take this thing down? He had grown to a hulking behemoth himself, but he wasn't even close to reaching the dragon's chest with his axe. The thick legs looked extremely fortified as well, by thick scales, and it was not like they were very good targets anyway, since the thing could fly. However, the dragon gave Zack no time to form a proper battle plan, as it stomped at him with one of its frontal claws. Zack quickly scrambled out of the way as he took out the 5 strongest offensive talismans he had been given by the undead kingdom. He threw them all toward the scales on its chest, and a huge explosion of ice and poison rocked the whole area the next moment. Zack's pitch-black eyes widened in surprise when the vision cleared to display completely unblemished scales. The dragon was still infuriated by the attack, and its long neck curved as it tried to catch Zack in its massive maw. 10 spectral chains slammed into its head with enough momentum to veer it off course before they tried to find a way beneath the scales to burrow into its body. The scene gave Zack an idea, and a spectral chain suddenly flashed over to him and looped a few rounds around his body before it hoisted him up in the air. His arms swelled to almost ridiculous proportions as he forced as much miasma as possible into it with unholy strike, while the chain lifted him toward the dragon's softer underbelly. The creation energies worked in his favor this time, and it felt like there was no limit to how much miasma he could infuse into his biceps. It just kept growing to accommodate. He still didn't dare to overdo it, though, in case he harmed his main arm. His left hand was still barely serviceable since it was reformed, though he felt that he was gradually regaining control over it. But he couldn't afford that sort of thing happening to the arm he used to wield Varun's bite. Zack growled as he swung the massive black bartich with everything he had, and the power was actually so great that the whole beast was pushed back a few meters. A small stream of blood leaked out from the wound, and Zack's eyes lit up as he saw his chance. The first swing had been infused with the fragment of the axe to cut through the thick scales, but his second swing was instead infused with the corrosion of the fragment of the coffin. Zack wasn't done there, and he breathed out a cloud of corruption into the open wound as he frenziedly swung over and over to cause as much rot and fester as he could. But he only managed to swing 4 times before the beast roared and moved with shocking speed. It almost looked like it teleported as the bleeding chest was replaced by a scaled tail barreling toward him. The shield of immutable bulwark quickly moved to block, but he was still slammed into the ground like a comet while the spectral chain was fractured into pieces. The other 14 tried to worm their way into the open wound in retaliation, which stopped any follow-up from the beast. It didn't help Zack much, though, as the dragon's attack had been infused with some sort of Tao fragment related to brute strength. The armor of his transformation had broken apart all along his back when he slammed into the ground with enough force to cause a small earthquake. It felt like half the bones in his body had broken from the impact, but he suddenly felt a lot better as a cold and soothing stream of energy surged across his body. Zack's first guess was that the shard of creation had yet again healed him at the cost of even more of his lifespan. But the feeling was completely different this time. There was not that aching, hollow feeling that had accosted him the last times, and he crawled up from the ground with confusion just in time to see 12 of the closest skeletons crack and crumble into dust. What was this? Only then did the real use of Undying Legion dawn on him. They were not only soldiers, but also decoys that took damage for him. He had not used the skill a lot since trying it out against the Aevoli parasites, and when he did use the skill, it was only on weaker enemies. The skill cost a lot, and he didn't want to waste any miasma in tough battles, which meant he had only seen the surface use of the skill. Since he hadn't really been hurt until now, He hadn't witnessed the secondary use of the skill, damage transference. He wasn't given 100 lives, though, judging by the fact that over 10 skeletons had been destroyed from one single strike, but it was still enough to let him keep fighting a lot longer. He also wasn't sure how strong the effect was. For example, he doubted the skeletons could deal with a massive wound like the one where he'd gotten his whole torso blown to bits. However, Zek's problem had just started, as he found that the dragon was looking down at him with malice in its eyes. It almost seemed enraged at the fact that its mighty tail hadn't even managed to hurt him. Its wings started to furiously beat, causing torrential winds that made the miasma and corrosive mists billow into the air. The turquoise fractal in the sky was obviously strained, as large cracks appeared on it before they mended themselves, but it stopped the dragon from going airborne. The beast did, however, manage to rise onto its back legs, and Zack felt a foreboding sensation as a very familiar light lit up deep in the open maw. An unceasing stream of scorching flames slammed into Zack the next moment, and he could only turtle up on the ground beneath his fractal bulwark. The flames carried a terrifying heat, and it felt like he was being boiled alive inside his little bubble. Less than a second passed before he felt that all the skeletons outside had been turned to ash, and he even sensed that the whole miasmic cage struggled to withstand the sea of flames that covered the whole area by now. The shield of profane seal finally broke a few seconds later, and Zack received a strong backlash that made him groan in pain. Even the thick bulwark started to show signs of tearing as small cracks let droplets of flames through. He felt a scorching pain in his leg as one of them dripped right through a crack in the armor, but the burn was healed by the shard of creation at the cost of even more life force. Zack knew he needed to finish the battle quickly. He couldn't let the shard keep draining him to heal his wounds, or he'd return to Port Atwood as a senior citizen. The flames finally abated, and Zack looked around only to see scorched earth in all directions. All the skeletal soldiers were gone, as was the cage trapping the beast. Even the vast swaths of miasma and corrosive mists from winds of decay had been singed clean, leaving only superheated air. Zack saw his opportunity, as the dragon seemed pretty drained from having expelled a small ocean of flames, and Zack quickly swapped back to his human form. Lush growth rose from the ashen fields as the domain of Hatchet Man's spirit emerged, and Zack launched a series of fractal blades at the open maw of the dragon. However, the fragment-infused blades only caused minor scars on its face before they broke apart, and Zack knew he would have to use something stronger than that. Cosmic energy surged in his body as he activated nature's punishment, and the wooden fist emerged from the crack in space before it flew toward the exhausted dragon. But another pulse from the shard made Zack's hand twist and deform. Shockingly enough, the same thing happened to the wooden hand, and it suddenly looked like a misshapen stump. The scene thankfully only lasted for a second before both of them turned back to normal after Zack shouted in his mind. He had accidentally put too much focus on his hand from activating the skill, which the shard had interpreted as desire. A grand peak emerged from the enormous fractal in the sky the next second, and it shot straight down toward the head of the dragon. Zack wanted to end it once and for all with one massive strike, but he was dismayed to find that he had underestimated the sturdiness of a dragon's skull. Blood poured down from its head like rain, but it resisted the downward push with a furious roar. It looked like it refused to give up in a battle of pure strength, and its whole body trembled as it tried to throw away the mountain pressing down on it. However, its head had been noticeably pushed down toward the ground, and its throat was only 5 meters in the air, while its whole body was fixed in position. Zack knew he wouldn't get a better opportunity than this. This was his final shot, but he knew that any attack with Varun's bite wouldn't cut it against the thick plating protecting the dragon's throat. There were only two things in his repertoire that had a shot at killing this thing in one go. The first option was the third swing of deforestation, but it was impossible to launch the skill again after such a short duration. Besides, he didn't have time to wind up three consecutive strikes before the dragon managed to divert the mountain. He was already feeling that he was losing control of nature's punishment. The second option was more fraught with danger, but he had already come to a point of no return. He felt that both the remnants were already building up for another strike at the fractal cage, and he knew that the rune was already teetering on the brink of collapse. His best shot at surviving whatever came next was to exhaust both the slivers first. Two knives appeared in his hands, and he stabbed them into his shoulders before he tried to launch what should be his ultimate move. He hadn't tried this before, but he saw no real alternative. A normal bronze flash was extremely strong, but the implosion area wasn't large enough to wound a beast of this size. The pale pink flash he had managed to summon on the technocrat ship might work, but he still had no idea what it actually did. It might even heal the dragon rather than hurt it, for all he knew. Besides, either of those attacks would only exhaust one of the remnants, and he wanted to tire both of them out before the miasmic cage broke open. He needed to see if he could create a new flash by fusing Bodhi and Coffin, in hopes it would create a mix of the two. That would involve both the slivers, and it should release the strongest force he could muster. If that couldn't kill a dragon, then nothing would. He was extremely drained already, but he still pushed more mental energy into the two fractals on his shoulders than he had ever done before. His vision was turning blurred, but he forcibly held on to his consciousness as he jumped toward the dragon's throat. The two fragments entered the modified cyclic strike without issue, and streams of energies started to converge in the middle of his chest to merge as usual. But the moment the two energies tried to merge in his chest, the remnants turned insane. Chapter 47. Chaos. The shard of creation stormed toward the miasmic fractal while pouring out unprecedented amounts of energies like it was suicidal, and the splinter responded in kind. The rune cracked in an instant, causing a chaotic storm of energies that left a new set of cracks in his soul. However, a fractured soul wasn't actually his most pressing issue, as something terrifying was brewing in his chest. The two streams of energy resisted being merged. Meanwhile, the dual skill fractals were like funnels that didn't stop infusing the two energies, causing more and more opposing energies to gather in his chest. Zack wasn't even providing any mental energy to the skill any longer, but the energy was rather ripped from the two remnants. He couldn't understand what was going on. Nothing like this had happened before when forming a flash. However, the two remnants seemed completely uncaring about the shocking amounts of energy they were losing. Dozens of tentacles shot out of the cage the instant the gap was created, all of them targeting the shard hovering outside. It met the assault with radiant tendrils of its own. Dozens of clashes took place in an instant, but the battle was quickly slowing down as the two remnants started to look faded and listless. It was too much. Zack couldn't even begin to prepare a strike in this condition, and he was horrified to find himself locked in the air as massive surges of power radiated around him. In fact, it seemed as though the whole area had been forced to a halt, as neither the dragon nor the descending mountain moved in the slightest. However, the wind still blew, and Zack briefly noted a bird flying in the sky above, proving that time hadn't actually stopped. Both Zack and his foe were just locked in place, as a bomb was growing inside his chest. Finally, the situation reached a tipping point, just as the two remnants seemed to be on their last legs. They no longer fought, but their tentacles rather gripped each other for support as they teetered on the brink of collapse. Meanwhile, the pressure in his chest had built to such a degree that the two sides no longer were able to resist the merge, and the two streams finally fused into a new energy. However, that was anything but good news, as Zack was still frozen, and this new creation contained such terrifying force that Zack was almost scared out of his mind. Just its existence was breaking apart Zack's body, but he was utterly incapable of moving it even an inch. Zack screamed with desperation in his mind, fervently wishing for the spark of creation to push the thing out of his body. His desire was thankfully granted, and a spear of white metal was forged by some of the leftover energies spread through his body. It emerged from his chest and shot toward the throat of the dragon with the terrifying creation residing within. The universe suddenly stopped, as time and space unraveled, and a hazy pattern emerged as the fused energy exploded. Zack was still stuck in the air, and his eyes were glued to the thing he had brought forth into the universe. It emitted an unlimited sense of vastness that threatened to turn him insane. It felt like it was trying to force the whole universe into his mind, but his soul was already bursting at the seams from just being subjected to an insignificant corner of the whole. He needed to look away, but he wasn't even able to blink. Zack was forced to witness the profundity of the universe and the end of his existence. The dome of heaven suddenly cracked as boundless lightnings spread across the horizon. They were the only things that moved in this world of gray, and the lightning seemed to accumulate right above his position. Zack tried to look up to see what was going on, but his eyes were still fixed as they had been before the world stopped. He could sense a terrifying pressure from above, though, like he was being gazed upon by an indifferent god. Power, supremacy, but also happiness? There was no way for him to comprehend the series of events, but he was relieved to see that the odd pattern in front of him was starting to fade. His mind was right on the brink of a meltdown, and he fervently prayed he would be able to withstand the insane pressures until the gray rune was gone. A pure pillar of lightning suddenly slammed into the pattern from above, but it was forcibly dispersed by a deep shudder emerging from within the rune. Another blast followed immediately after, and this process repeated 8 times with increasing intensity until a golden beam of lightning descended. Its might was even a match for the mysterious rune, and it wasn't as easily dispersed as the earlier bolts. Zack felt multiple shudders deep in his soul, but the final lightning bolt was like an unmovable fixture. Only after 10 seconds did it dissipate, but it left behind a pillar of golden fractals so densely inscribed that Zack couldn't even begin to comprehend what they were meant to do. The pattern inside seemed intent to escape, and a world-ending amount of energy ravaged inside the cage. The world shook, and the universe seemed to be cracking, as Zack's vision faded to black. A shudder ran through his body as he was startled awake, and he scrambled to his feet as he looked for threats in all directions. It felt like his eyes were full of sand and his head turned to mush, but he was alive. The dragon lay unmoving next to him with a massive hole in its throat where the mysterious rune had appeared. The summoned mountain was lying beside it, making an odd addition to the environment. There wasn't any sign of either the gray pattern or the terrifying lightning. The massive dragon was completely unscathed, apart from the hole in its throat, even though it should have been reduced to ash by the lightning strikes that had struck the pattern right beneath it. It almost felt like what he'd witnessed while the world had stopped was a dream. But he knew that what he had seen was all too real, and he had an inkling of what was going on. The gray pattern he had summoned was something the system desired, and it had slowly created a situation for Zack to provide it on a silver platter. He had sensed the greed of the heavens and the jubilation when the pattern was trapped. He had been played. Zack had a pretty good idea of what the thing he summoned was as well. It was chaos, or more likely a small fragment of it. It was the origin of the Tao, and just looking at it had almost driven Zack insane. If the system hadn't swooped in to steal the thing, he would have probably died then and there. He didn't even have the energy to be mad about being used as an incubation chamber for the system. What could he do? Scream at the sky like a raving lunatic? A sigh emerged from Zack's lips as he looked down at the token by his side. It looked like he had been unconscious for over 12 hours, giving him some time to finish things up on this level and recuperate, but nothing more than that. His climb would end at the entrance of the 73rd level. He took a deep breath as he looked up at the sky, and he felt a sense of peace, for the first time in months, it felt like. But the tranquility made him freeze in realization as he finally noticed that the two remnants had been completely quiet since he woke up half a minute ago. He quickly turned his sight inward, and he almost reeled in shock at the drastic changes that had taken place. The most important changes were obviously the ones that had happened to his miasmic cage. Only 6 miasmic runes remained, as expected, but they had gotten company. 6 golden fractals teeming with power had been added to the mix, forming an alternating circle in his mind. The construction seemed extremely robust, as though the 2 sets of runes formed something greater than the sum of their parts. More importantly, the cage already housed the 2 remnants. Was this the system's method of reciprocity? Some sort of reward for Zack providing it with the chaos pattern? The 2 remnants were still entwined by their tendrils, just like at the end of the fight, and they still seemed completely listless. They didn't move or struggle at all, and they felt faded, almost dying. They had been forcibly drained in order to form that special blob, and it seemed that it had almost taken all the power they had in the end. Zack took a shuddering breath as he sat unmoving for a few seconds. He had made it after all. The 2 remnants had glommed onto each other and formed a mutual restriction, while his cage had upgraded to an unprecedented level. Of course, he knew that he couldn't completely count on the issue being solved. The remnants couldn't even be destroyed by a warrior who was able to crush a black hole with his bare hands, so he doubted that getting slightly overtaxed would take them out. Besides, he wasn't confident in putting all his trust in the system's restrictive fractals. What if the system suddenly decided it wanted another chaos pattern and started prodding around in his head? He still needed to quickly upgrade the strength of his soul to make sure he could handle any future problems. Besides, he still hadn't given up on his path after his recent troubles. On the contrary, he felt more confident about his choice than ever, which meant that strengthening his soul was still a top priority. Fusing the coffin and the Bodhi again was obviously out of the question, at least for the foreseeable future. But the Bronze Flash and its Bodhi-based equivalent were still very much on the table. He just needed to create a proper foundation first. He was currently like a kid with matches, playing with things he didn't understand. He was shocked at the recklessness he had displayed during the latter parts of the climb as he looked back on the past weeks. He had not only risked his life untold times by creating the Bronze Flashes, but he had headed straight toward the shard without any regard for his life. Was it the splinter that had egged him on toward his own path of destruction? Or was it the system that was somehow messing with his sense of reason in order to achieve its goals? The current breather he had been given would hopefully give him the time he needed to work on his soul and figure out a way to control the high-grade energies to such a degree that he could reliably use them. There was no need for him to go to the lengths that he had to forcibly try to tame the flashes while still being a beginner cultivator. The glimpse of the chaos pattern had proved that he was in way over his head, and he needed to learn to walk before he could run. However, it wasn't all good news. His soul had once again gone through a change after his encounter. A set of white scars had been added to the black tendrils, making his whole soul look checkered. However, both the black and white scars seemed ephemeral and dim, like they were about to fade away. It looked like they had been completely drained, just like the real slivers. At least his soul seemed to have been healed by the creation's infiltration, but Zack still swallowed one of the soul-healing treasures he had gotten from the mentalist just in case there were hidden wounds he couldn't spot. It did clear his mind a bit, though it obviously wasn't able to expel the two high-tiered energies that had infiltrated his soul. There were no creation-based globules of energy in his soul, but there was still a decent amount of leftover energies spread across his body. It was just a pittance compared to what he had spent in the final clash, but it would be able to help him out in a pinch. As long as he didn't accidentally let his mind stray and waste it, of course. His soul getting marked by the events didn't feel too surprising, as it had been the unwilling conduit as the two remnants were drained. However, another change was pretty startling. The two fractals on his shoulders had changed. The torrential amounts of energies that had coursed through the crude shortcut he had made had actually remolded the skill fractals, making the pathing permanent. But that was not all, as fine markings lined the paths, creating patterns way beyond his comprehension. They were not fractals, and neither were they formed in the inscription language that was commonly used in the multiverse. They felt more primal, like they were natural markings created by the Tao itself. The fractal on his left shoulder had clearly been marked by the Shard of Creation, whereas the right one gave off the desolate aura of the Splinter of Oblivion. This could be both good news and bad news, but Zack wasn't ready to experiment whether it would cause any trouble when forming the bronze sparks. Not that he was very sure that he'd actually be able to form one, judging by how pale and faded the scars on his soul were. Apart from that, his body was in decent condition, except for the horrifying cost of life force. He would have to ask an expert to make sure, but he believed that he had lost decades from the intense usage of the shard. If he had kept going like that for a few days, he would have died of old age, or at least reached an advanced enough age to make further cultivation impossible. There was no way that using the shard for recuperation was worth it, as it cost way more of his life compared to slowly recuperating with healing pills. At least the shard's forced healing regimen had helped him prepare for what waited outside the tower. The long bout of unconsciousness had also restored most of his missing cosmic energy, and he would be able to reach peak condition before the deadline was up. Only 2 hours remained in his climb, and his two companions had probably already emerged. If he knew Agras, he would probably want to maximize his benefits by witnessing both his own and Zack's apparitions. He didn't immediately enter the teleportation array, though, but rather turned to the unmoving body of the dragon. His climb might have ended prematurely, but there were still treasures to be claimed. Chapter 48 An Old Friend.
Worst dragon ever, Zack muttered with disgust as he emerged from the dragon's den.
He had expected to be met by a veritable sea of treasures upon entering the cave, but the only thing that had waited for him was an enormous mat and a small mountain of raw fire-attuned crystals. Certainly the mat seemed to have been woven from extraordinary materials to create a soft and luxuriant feeling, but it was a far cry from the dragon's hoard he had been expecting. At least there was the actual carcass of the dragon itself. Such a beast was no doubt a living treasure, and he needed to harvest it before moving on. He had already given up on any hope of finding treasure on the 9th floor, so he needed to make the most of this beast. However, Zack didn't simply put the whole thing into a cosmos sack, but he rather chose to methodically harvest its body, piece by piece. It would be a huge shame if the whole dragon turned to dust the moment he left the tower, and this way he would at least be able to guarantee that some parts would make it. Zack tried to pry off as many scales as possible, along with its two massive horns. He also dug out what he believed to be a beast core from its head, though he was a bit surprised since those things usually only appeared after reaching D grade. The dragon was extremely powerful, but Zack suspected it was still in early E grade, if even that. He had heard a bit about dragons from Galau. They were terrifying beasts, and among the most naturally endowed creatures in the multiverse. They could grow impossibly large as well, making Zack believe he was only dealing with a youngling or a mixed-blood dragon. Still, leaving anything behind would be a waste, so he even poured out almost all his containers to fill them with dragon blood. Enough blood to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool entered his dozen or so canteens and the magical barrels of liquor he had bought. He did feed a lot of it to Varun's bite as well, but not enough to accidentally cause another upgrade. It took hours, sometimes days, for Varun's bite to absorb treasures, and Zack was about to potentially face an army waiting outside the gates of the tower. The spirit tool was extremely interested in the beast core also, but it would have to wait. It was a waste, but he could only pray that the dragon core would turn out to be real, as he might need Varun's special skills for the upcoming battle. He had somewhat counted on the bronze flash to act as an ace, but there was no way that the remnants were in a position to provide help anytime soon. He had tried summoning a bronze flash over 20 times while carving up the beast, but nothing happened. The two fragments entered his reworked fractals just fine, but when they met in his chest, they just turned into an impure mix of the two fragments that soon dissipated, just like the failed attempts from before. Something had clearly changed, as he'd had almost a 50% success rate before. The transformation of the fractals on his shoulders might be causing problems, but he was pretty sure that wasn't it. An hour had passed since he had woken up by now, and he started to see some patterns of how things might go from here on out. It quickly became clear that the remnants were really capable of some sort of self-restoration. Small motes of energies appeared from within their bodies, even though no cosmic or mental energy had entered the cage. However, it had been a slow grind for a pitiful amount of energy. Things only went even worse for the remnants from there, as the new cage created some sort of suction just moments after the motes of energy formed. The energy was instantly ripped out of the shard and splinter, leaving only a fraction behind. The rest was purified and funneled out into Zack's body. The purified energy from the splinter made its way to his soul, as usual, subtly strengthening it.